Okay, so as you know, today is Tuesday, and there's a lot to say, but I'd like to talk about a particular topic that is tangentially related to this week's parasha, and that's the topic of cremation in Jewish law. This week's parasha, of course, tells us that Avraham Avinu goes to purchase a grave for his wife, Sarah. You see from here the importance of having separate Jewish burial grounds as opposed to burying someone together with the non-Jews. And this has remained the Jewish practice since for millennia, since the time of Avraham Avinu. And this idea is written in Shulchan Aruch that Jews are not buried with non-Jews. Jews are not buried even with Jews who are less observant, technically. There was large issues in various Chevra Kadishas about who's entitled to be buried and who is not entitled to be buried. And the question we're going to talk about today is a specific question of the burial of cremation ashes. And to get into the topic, my father will correct me if I get any of the details wrong over here, but the story is like this. I had a great aunt. Her name was Branka. You have to pay attention to the names over here. My great aunt Branka was married to my uncle Harry. Harry was my grandmother's brother. What happened was Harry died, and Branka married Jacob. Jacob was someone who had done business with Harry, so the families knew each other. Jacob's previous wife was named Barbara. And Barbara had died around the time that Harry died, and Branka married Jacob. That is the fact of the story. Fact two of the story is Jacob was a Holocaust survivor. This is relevant because today is, last night was Kristallnacht. Jacob was a Holocaust survivor. Not only was Jacob a Holocaust survivor, but Jacob worked for Emanuel Windelbaum's society in the Warsaw Ghetto called Einik Shabbos, whose job was to document all of the goings on in the ghetto, to hide the documents. Jacob worked for Ringelbaum, etc. Jacob and his wife, both survivors, his previous wife, Barbara, left instructions that they should be cremated. And their rationale for being cremated was that all of their friends and family were cremated by Hitler, yimach shemo. And they, again, the emotions over here are obviously very complex and very powerful, but they both wanted to be cremated. We didn't know very much about what happened to Barbara. Barbara's not related to us, obviously. Barbara is Jacob's first wife. And on one long Shabbos afternoon, someone is reading Jacob's autobiography. Jacob was a wealthy man. He self-published an autobiography. People do that, and no one ever reads it unless it's a really long Shabbos afternoon. Then you pick up the autobiography, and Jacob writes that Barbara died and Barbara was cremated and her ashes are put into her favorite sculpture, which is a bronze sculpture of a fist. So Barbara's ashes are in that sculpture. Okay, now.
Could I just ask if Jacob and Barbara were observant?
No,
They're not.
not at all. They are not observant. They're very traditionally very affiliated with Jewish organizations, but not
They're
observant.
not halachic.
Not halachic in any way. That's correct.
They were members both in the Reform Temple of New York and the Fifth Avenue Synagogue, the Orthodox congregation of New York.
They were members of both, correct. So Jacob and Branka are married. Jacob's former wife, Barbara, you read in this autobiography that her ashes are in her favorite sculpture. No one really believed this, but you pick up the sculpture and it says on the bottom, Barbara, and it says the date of her death. So the question comes up. The sculpture is in my parents' living room. And Barbara is inside the sculpture, which is in my parents' living room. So then the Shiloh comes up. What do you do with Barbara? And the Shiloh came up a couple of years earlier. What do you do with Jacob? Because Jacob died and Jacob was cremated. So what do you do with cremation ashes? Are cremation ashes allowed to be buried in a Jewish cemetery? That's the question. Now, just a few words about the halachos of cremation. You could follow along on the sources that we have over here. We'll go through it relatively quickly. Yes, Nady.
Just, does anybody plan on talking about, like, because I remember hearing a while ago that there was a whole thing with COVID and previous pandemics, cholera and whatnot.
I don't know if I'm going to talk about previous pandemics, but we'll touch on something along those lines of people who are cremated for other reasons. Okay, why do people cremate usually? Let's just, before we get into the halachic discussion, the reason why people cremate, and cremation became very popular starting in the 1860s, 1870s, is because it's assumed to be more hygienic. You put a body in the ground, you are risking the fact that maybe you'll contaminate water that's nearby, you're using up space. It's assumed to be more hygienic, better for the environment to cremate. That's one reason. People would also cremate, and this is like a weird thing that existed in Germany. They were worried about premature burial. There was a fear. Edgar Allan Poe has something in one of the stories about the fear of premature burial. But people are worried that they'll be buried and they're still alive. And that can be really uncomfortable. Some say the expression saved by the bell does not originate in boxing, but originates that they would bury people with a bell just in case they wake up, they would ring that bell and come out. So people are worried that they'll be buried when they're still alive. So what they do is they would have a bell, or the practice in certain German communities in Mecklenburg in the 18th century was that they would wait for 3 days after the demise before you buried a person. And that way you could see the body begins to decompose, you know, the person's really dead. This, of course, is a discussion, the Tshuva, the Chassam Sefer, that's written to Moses Mendelssohn. Moses Mendelssohn advocated for delaying burial because of the fear of premature death. And the Chassam Sofer says, no, it's against halacha. The halacha is you have to bury a person right after, as soon after death as possible.
Cremation doesn't solve premature death,
but cremation was desired by some people because you're not going to go through the pain of the asphyxiation of knowing that you are underground and you can't breathe. This way, you know for sure you're dead. They could bury you without any concern of pain. Some people wanted to be cremated because of this fear of premature death. Other reasons to cremate. Some people had and have ideological reasons to cremate. Reb Sadia Gaon writes in the Sefer Emunos V'Deos Perek Zayin that our belief in Tchiyas HaMesim is a belief that the dead will arise in physical form. People who wanted to show that they denied this idea would specifically request being cremated, because apparently if the dead will arise in physical form, that's because there's something of your body that remains. But once you're cremated, they felt this would not happen. And there are some people who explicitly said that they wanted cremation because they don't believe in Tchiyas HaMesim in a physical way. Actually, on one occasion, I met Professor William Chester Jordan, who's a African-American fellow who's a professor of Jewish history in Princeton, super smart guy. And he deals with the time period of 11th, 12th century, medieval period. So I asked him at the time when Jews in Provence, during the Maimonidean controversy, when Jews believed that Trias HaMesim might not be physical, did anyone cremate? That's why I asked Professor Jordan. So Professor Jordan told me he does not know, but I should think of a less lugubrious topic to focus on. That was his expression. Yeah, Ellie? Reb Tzadia Gaon says that Jews believe in physical Tzias HaMesim. Some use the Reb Tzadia Gaon as a reason not to cremate. And some of those who advocated for cremation were saying specifically because they don't believe in the physical Tzias HaMesim. Right? Those are some of the conversations. Now, they weren't what?
They weren't rebellion.
So were there any Rabbonim who were pro-cremation? So it depends how you define Rabbonim. There was a fellow who was a real Talmud Chacham. His name was Michael Higger. He was a professor in Jewish Theological Seminary in the 1930s. He wrote a treatise saying that cremation is permitted al pi halacha, and it's based on psukim in Tanakh. Okay, let's go through the psukim in Tanakh. Again, I'm going a teeny bit out of order, but the psukim in, let's take the psukim in Shmuel, Aleph. Right? So Sha'ol dies. Vayakumo ko anshe chayo vayocho kol alayla vayichutz gviyas shov es gviyos bondav mechumas beishan. Right? The people go all night. They take Shaul's body, the body of his sons. Vayavo'u Yovesha. They come to a town called Yovesh. Vayisrifu Osam Sham. And they burn them. The simple meaning of the psukim is that they were cremated. That's the simple meaning of the psukim. Now, the traditional understanding of these psukim, the Radak writes, based on Gemara's and Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin, that they didn't actually burn Sha'ol and his sons. They burned the kalim. They burned the vessels of Sha'ol and his sons. Apparently, it was standard practice in ancient times that when a king dies, you burn all of his stuff to show mourning for the king. That's what the Gemara of Avodah Zarah writes, Sarfin al Hamalachim velomi darke ha'emori, that you're allowed to burn the king's stuff. And the Radak over here writes basically that that's what they did. Alternatively, the Radak writes that because Sha'ol's body began to decompose and was smelling bad, so they burned some spices to make it smell less bad. Those are two explanations here in the Radak in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph. Michael Higger writes in his small pamphlet about cremation that if you read Tanakh in a number of places, the simple reading is that kings were burned. Moreover, he says that the halachic practice used to be that they would pour a type of sid, they would pour a type of lime on the corpses, which would make the corpse begin to decompose before they would bury the corpse. And Michael Higger argues, what's the difference between if they burn you or they put lime to help the body decompose? You're actively doing it. And he maintained that cremation is permitted al pi halacha. That was his position. Again, I don't think any Orthodox rabbinic authority ever said cremation is permitted. When I discussed this issue with Rabbi Bleich, So he gave me this whole folder. Rabbi Blank like knows everything. So I have a complete folder of his sources on cremation. He said he was planning on writing an article. To the best of my knowledge, he never wrote the article on the topic. I should note that Professor Adam Furziger, who's in Bar Ilan University, I met him at a conference, and I asked him what he's working on, whatever, and he said he's working on cremation. So I told him the story about Branca, Jacob, etc., like it's a fun story. So he sent me some of his articles on cremation. Maybe if we have time, we'll talk about some of that as we go on. Ellie.
Isn't that
So here's the question. Here's the question. The Torah says that this week's parasha, you have to bury your body. In parashas, Kiseitze, the Torah writes that ki kover tikberenu bayom avu, you have to bury a body. Lo tola nivloso, you can't delay it. You have to bury the body. We assume that that is an absolute halacha, not only for people who are killed by Beis Din, but for everyone. There's a mitzvah of kavura. Well, the question is, though, how do I look at cremation ashes? Do I view the ashes like the body themselves? And therefore, I bury the ashes because I'm burying the body. Or do I say that the cremation ashes are no longer the body? Question, can a Kohen come in contact with cremation ashes? Right? One of those questions when you have Barbara in your living room is that you have to be worried about Kohanim entering and becoming tamei to the cremation ashes. So that's the question. The vast majority of poskim say, and when I give this, there's a ton of sources I have over here for you. The earliest source that I'm aware of who dealt with these questions is Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis. In the Tshuva Space Yitzchak, I give it to you here on page 5. Chelek Beis of Yeridei Simin Kuf Nun Hey. Reb Yitzchak Shmelkis writes that if you cremate a body, you are in violation of the mitzvah of kavura. When the person dies, you have an opportunity to bury the person. Once you cremate, you have eradicated that obligation. He maintains that a Kohen is not, well, this is part of the question. He maintains that even if a Kohen is not supposed to come in contact with cremation ashes, and that's something we'll talk about in a minute, nonetheless, you are not allowed to cremate because you are destroying the corpse. It could be that what you are doing is something along the lines of nivol hames. We don't desecrate a body. And perhaps you could desecrate the body to the extent that there is not enough left there to bury. But a coin can still not become tame. I'm jumping ahead of myself a teeny bit.
You're saying there's no more mace, so there's obviously no kavura.
So not necessarily. How much of a dead body has to remain in order to bury it? How much corpse do you need for the mitzvah of kavura? Now, you're going to say, so etzem kisaora, the halacha that a bone the size of a barley, which is tiny, is tame, that might not be enough for the mitzvah of burial. If you look on the source sheets, I give you a Mishnah Lamelech in the 14th parak of Hilchos Evel. The Mishnah Lamelech writes, it's like the third line, that the Taisvis Yomtiv says that you have to bury a body once there is, as long as there is a kavura. As long as there is, a kezias. If you have an olive size of corpse, you have to bury the body. Now, how large is an olive? Chazanisha shir and Chayim Nun shir sitting at night? I don't know. But Taisis Yantiv says, you have to bury a body when there is the size of kezias. The Mishnah Lamelech writes that in his opinion, you only have a mitzvah of kavura when you have rov ha'ivarim, when the majority of the body remains. So that's a discussion, the poskim. But basically, the Mishnah Lamelech, right? Let me find you the line. He says, you could be docha the raya that kezayis min hames is talking about the skin of a dead body. And it could be that there is no mitzvah of kikover tikberenu. There's no mitzvah to bury the body unless... you have rosho verubo. Yeah, you need the head and the majority of the limbs of the body. That's what the Mishnah Lamelech assumes.
Just rov of the body is not good.
Just rov is not good enough. You need rosho verubo. He says we learn from the idea of kikover tikberenu. You have to bury a body. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin writes that if you don't bury a body, which in ancient times meant that they would leave the body hanging, so it's kikilas al kim taloi. It's like a curse on God. People are going to look at the body, and the body is in the image of Hashem. And therefore, says the Mishnah Lamelech, if you don't have a body that's enough to be an image, you don't have rosho verubo, there's no mitzvah of kavura. Machlokes Mishnah Lamelech and Tosfos Yontif. How much is needed to bury? But that also means that the question of burial and the question of tum'ah are not connected. And I see this elsewhere. There is a halacha that a kohen is not allowed to come in contact with eiver min hachai. But let's say, rachmana litzlan, a person has to have an amputation. An eiver technically is, if you have basar gidim and atzamos, you need flesh and sinews and bone. If there is an aver that's removed from the person, so a kohen cannot come in contact with it. Kohen can become tame. Technically speaking, there's no mitzvah of burial on an aver min hachai. Just a kohen can't come in contact with it. Oftentimes, if a person had an amputation right before death, we try to put the amputated limb in the grave with the person. But there is no real chiyuv of kavura on an amputated limb. It's just that a kohen can't become tameh, so we usually try to bury it for those purposes. But sometimes in the hospital, let's say you have an infection and they're worried about transmitting the disease, so the hospital will burn the limb. Also, in those cases, the assumption is that kohen, right, is not forbidden to come in contact with the ashes of a limb.
Is it mutter to burn the limb?
So is it mutter to burn? You have to treat it with respect, but sometimes that's the best alternative. You want as few people, let's say it's a very serious infection or whatever that can transmit, you don't want people to come in contact with it, so you don't want to bury it. Right? Again, I don't know the reality of the case when this comes up or not. But
the whole body might be different.
A whole body
is... somebody died from that disease.
If someone dies from that disease, so whether you're allowed to cremate to prevent infection of others is a very serious question. Honestly, pikuach nefesh overcomes everything, no? So if there's a real... let's say Ebola. Was Ebola transmitted through corpses? I have no idea. But if it's the type of highly contagious disease, so then it could be the halacha would permit cremation in order to not transmit that illness.
Would it be better to cremate Aver?
So the thing is that once the person dies, there's a mitzvah of kavura on the entire entity, and there, once the person dies, also there's a mitzvah of kavura in every part of the body. There's a halacha that of Dam Tavusa and the like. If a person is shot, right, this comes up, there's this organization in Israel called Zaka, who have the very unfortunate job of when someone is killed, let's say in a terrorist attack, you have to scrape up every body part, every part of the body that was there. If the part of my body comes off when I'm alive, so there's no technical mitzvah of burial, it's only to avoid tumah for kohen. If the body part comes off after the individual died, so then you have a real mitzvah of kavura on that body part. And this organization, Zaka, they go around collecting all the body parts. So it's entirely possible that there's no mitzvah of kavura on the cremation ashes because there isn't enough there. On the other hand, there was a mitzvah of kavura when the person died. And what you have done is you have tried to circumvent that mitzvah. And all the poskim say that it is forbidden to cremate a body, because if you cremate, you are in violation of the mitzvah of burial. The whether cremation ashes are tameh or not, the Mishnah writes clearly in Ahalos that they are not tameh according to the Chachamim. That means tumah is not transmitted. Nonetheless, there are opinions that a kohen cannot come in contact with cremation ashes. And Rav Schechter tries to explain this in his Sefer. He says that the halacha of a kohen is not that the kohen can't become tumah. The halacha is that a kohen can't be close to death. The kohen cannot be in the proximity of death, but it's not a halacha in tumah per se. Cremation ashes might be forbidden for a kohen to come in contact with because of this special prohibition of a kohen, but not because of tum'ah. There is no tum'ah on the ashes. That's clear in the Mishnah.
So based on that, it should be mutter for the kohen to handle the cremation ashes of just an eved. No.
So if it's cremation ashes of Justin Aver, so it would be permitted. In other words, you're saying that, there's a halach of Aver min hachai. Once that coin can't become tamei too, once it's no longer an Aver, so is it called kreva lemeis? If it's Aver min hachai, it's not kreva lemeis. Absolutely. It should be permitted for a coin to come in contact with the ashes of a burned, amputated limb. Absolutely. I think that would be correct. So now, the story of cremation. Again, this is not a fun story at all, but sometimes I like doing topics that are not fun. Fun and interesting are different, right? It could be it's an interesting topic, despite the fact that it's not fun. The poskim, starting in the 1860s, 1870s, in Germany, began to deal extensively with the issue of cremation. The first crematoria were built for mass-scale cremation in Germany in the 1870s. And a lot of people wanted cremation. And the Rabbonim had to convince the populace, don't do it. In an effort to convince the populace not to do it, and based on halachic reasoning, they came out with statements that if you cremate, you will not be buried in a Jewish cemetery. They came out with similar statements. You have to remember the early Reform movement had opposition to Bris Milah, and they felt it's a barbaric act. Right? Israel Jacobson and the temple in Sassine was opposed to Bris Milah. They came out with statements that if you don't have a Bris Milah, we will not, if you're a male who does not have a Bris Milah, we will not bury you in a Jewish cemetery. Those issues were, I'd say, statements to establish communal limits. But in the case of cremation ashes, there's also halachic basis for it, because if you assume that it is no longer a dead body, so then And in particular, if you assume that a Kohen is allowed to become tummy to it, so then why bury it? The question is not so much, should you bury it, right? The question becomes, why do it? It's not a body. It's nothing there. Now, let me show you just like, let's read a tshuva nigris Moshe. It's a short tshuva. This is obviously much later.
Just a full question. Is it common people to want to be cremated and then bury the ashes?
Yes. It's not uncommon. Let's jump forward until the 1990s. The 1990s, massive immigration from the former Soviet Union. Mikhail Gorbachev, Glasnost, right? People are coming. In the Soviet Union, the communists were very into cremation, and the Russian Jews also had a strong connection to the family. And when they are coming to Israel, they didn't want to leave their grandparents behind or their parents behind. So they are coming to Israel with urns containing the remains of their family members. The Rabbanut in the 1990s has to address a question about, do you bury these remains, these cremation ashes, right? They were cremated, but they wanted to be buried in Israel, because traditionally speaking, to be buried in Israel is something that Jews yearn for. The family wanted them to be buried in Israel. Are you allowed to do so? So let's just look at the opinion of Rav Moshe. Again, this is a tshuva. It's, I believe, from the 1970s. Rav Moshe writes, if you are cremated because you yourself are wicked, because your children are wicked, that the children, Shatsiva, Shiyisrufo, so the fellow commanded he should be burned, you should not allow, the Chevra Kadisha should not allow the ashes to be buried, and ashes do not require kavura at all. You don't have to bury ashes at all. Now, this position of Rav Moshe is what we'll call the hardline position. Everyone is agreeing that you're not supposed to, you're not allowed to cremate. But there are a few other issues that come up. One, if you're cremated, does it remain a body and is the chi of kavura intact? Pardon the pun. Two, if you cremate, is there an iser hana'a on the ashes? Is it forbidden to get benefit from the ashes? The Mishnayos at the end of Temura speak about that kol hanikbarim shenisrifu. Right? Let's say you have something that al pi halacha is supposed to be buried. If you burn it, you did not fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore it remains aser b'hana'a. You cannot get benefit from it. Is there a reason to assume that you should bury the cremation ashes because of a concern that if you don't bury it, people might use it as fertilizer to make their gardens grow better? Because it's aser b'hana'a. Right, the Taisus in the end of Temura says the only reason why Serefa items are supposed to be burned, so there is no longer Tumah once they're burned, that's because it's Nasus Mitzvah, so that's because you did the mitzvah. But if the mitzvah is to bury it and then you burn it, so it remains Aser Bahana'a. The Gemara is learning from Avodah Zarah, from Karbanos, etc. Right, the Temura Daf Lamed Daled is in the context of Karbanos, but if you don't bury it, so then it is Aser B'Hana'a. So we have a few issues. It could be that you have to bury it because there's a mitzvah burial. It remains a corpse. It could be you have to bury it because of the opinions that a Kohen should not come in contact with it. It could be that you have to bury it because there's an Isser Hano'ah that we don't want you to get benefit. Now, of course, in terms of the Tumah of the Kohen and the Isser Hano'ah, there might be other ways of disposing of the ashes to ensure that a Kohen doesn't come in contact with it and the like. But the easiest way to do that is to bury it. So there was a school of thought among Poskim that you are supposed to bury cremation ashes. However, because the individual who was cremated is halachically considered a rasha, you should not bury that individual in the regular cemetery. You should bury the individual on the side of the cemetery. Let's say, God forbid, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about suicide. So the halacha, today we assume that people commit suicide generally didn't commit suicide. We assume that they were not of sound mind. But if you know someone committed suicide, you don't bury them in the regular part of the cemetery. There's a prohibition of Ein Kovrim Rasha Eitzel Tzadik. Ein Kovrim Tzadik Eitzel Rasha. You can't bury a Rasha near a Tzadik. So you bury the person at the side of the cemetery. You build a fence around their graves. Or in some cemeteries where the majority of the people, let's say, were non-observant, they would build a fence around the observant people. So the lenient position was to bury the cremation ashes, but to treat the cremated individual like a rasha who gets buried at the outskirts of the cemetery. So there are a few opinions. One opinion traditionally was it doesn't require any burial. That's where Rav Moshe Feinstein takes the opinion. The rabbi of Altona. Altona is a community right next to Hamburg. That's where they had the first controversy in the 1870s about this. The rabbi of Altona was named Lerner. He wrote a book called Chaye Olam. Rabbi Bleich gave me a full photocopy of the book. In the Sefer Chaye Olam, he went around getting 150 rabbonim to say that it is forbidden to bury cremation ashes at all. Forbidden. The rabbi of Frankfurt at that time. So they were making halachic arguments. You don't have to bury it. Why do so? And if you do so, you're going to run the risk of putting people near a rasha. Again, it's only near a rasha, though, if the body has some integrity, if it remains the body. Right. One could argue it's not considered being buried next to Russia if it's no longer that body. So the rabbi of Altona goes, he puts together this treatise, Chaye Olam, 150 rabbonim sign that it's forbidden to bury cremation ashes. The rabbi of Hamburg at that time is named Rabbi Marcus Hirsch, who is not related to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch. It's a different Hirsch. Rabbi Marcus Hirsch felt that they should bury the cremation ashes on the side of the cemetery. And this became a cause célèbre. Now, I should note, Adam Furziger in his article, it's called Ashes to Outcasts, Cremation, Jewish Law, and Identity. It's published in the AJS Review in April of 2012. So he notes that the chief rabbi in Trieste asked to be cremated in Italy. And they cremated him. And they did a funeral on his Orthodox chief rabbi. And they did a funeral on his cremation ashes. What was that based on? We're not sure. Again, it could be he understood the sources the way that Professor Michael Higger did. I don't know.
Did he die of some awful disease?
No, not as far as anyone knows. It was, they didn't bat an eyelash. I don't know if they're saying that what he did was permitted, but he had a regular funeral. The way Poskim talk about this, here, let's look in the tshuva of Reb Chaim Eiser. Again, we're going out of order a little bit. 1870s is the real controversy. That's when the book Chaye Olam has 150 rabbonim who say it's forbidden. There were some rabbis who said it is permitted. Reb Chaim Eiser, much later in the 1920s, he says, of course, it's forbidden to cremate, but if you cremate, so then you are in violation of the mitzvah of burying the body. But even though the Beis Yitzchak says that you should bury the body, he is not convinced that that's correct. Reb Chaim Eiser writes, "Hinani mesupak im yesh chiyuv kavura al efer hames." So Reb Chaim Eiser is similar to Reb Moshe Feinstein, that maybe there's no mitzvah of burying the ashes at all. This issue came up again in the 1930s in Israel. 1930s in Israel, there is a fellow who was the editor of a newspaper called The Israelite, a British newspaper, who asks to be cremated. His name is Leopold Greenwald, I believe. And
religious guy, or?
No, not religious at all. He requested to be cremated. And the new chief rabbinate of Israel, 1930s, the chief rabbinate had just been established. No? Rav Cook and Rav Meir, or the Ashkenazian Sephardi chief rabbis. 1930s, they come out with a statement that under no circumstances should any Chevra Kadisha allow burial of cremation ashes. Under no circumstances should it be done. Late 40s, early 50s, the question of burial of cremation ashes. Now in Israel, you have to recognize issues of personal status are under the jurisdiction of the Rabbanot. So marriage and divorce, conversion and cemeteries are under the Rabbanot's jurisdiction. This fellow, Leopold Greenwald, was not allowed to be buried in a Rabbanut cemetery. He was buried on Kibbutz Degania. He was buried on the grounds of a secular Israeli kibbutz. 1930s, chief rabbinate says you cannot bury under any circumstances. By the 1950s, there is a massive funeral in Tel Aviv, in the Allenby Synagogue, of ashes from Mayandek. A massive funeral. At that funeral, the chief rabbi, Rav Uziel, speaks, and he says, although we don't bury cremation ashes,
they
bring the ashes from Mayandek, they bring them to Israel, they want to bury them. Wow. They have a huge ceremony, they bury the cremation ashes. Rav Uziel speaks about how, although halacha does not bury cremation ashes, and it's not necessary to bury them, nonetheless, we are doing this because these people died on Kiddush Hashem, and we want to give them their final farewell. In a public way, it was a huge funeral. Later on, in the 1990s, when the issue came up again with the Russians, the Rabbanut said that they could be buried in the regular cemetery. So there's a progression here, going from not being buried to being buried in a separate, very honorable place, but not in the regular cemetery, to being buried in the regular cemetery. That's the progression in the Rabbanut. Within German Jewry, the progression can be seen in the tshuvas of Reb David Zvi Hoffman. Reb David Zvi Hoffman is the rector of Hildesheimer Seminary. Reb David Zvi Hoffman was a major posek. In the first tshuva that he has in Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, he says, obviously, it's usur to cremate. And he tries to argue that maybe there is no mitzvah of kavura at all on cremation ashes. In Simen Kuf Yud Dalet, he writes that earlier when I said there's no mitzvah of kavura, that was l'migdar milta. That was just to establish a fence, because we wanted to discourage people from cremating. But ka'es hadranabi, now I changed my mind based on a statement in the Mechilta. The Mechilta writes that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, "Altvahel listar b'mos goyim shalo tivne b'yadcha, shalo tister shalo veinim v'yom locha asim shavanim." Meaning, don't be scared of destroying something that was built, because sometimes you have to rebuild something greater than what was destroyed. Meaning, says Reb David Tzvi Hoffman, mikan muchach she'ein lasos takana b'mokom she'yesh locha shayideze niya mukhrachim lekalkel yosem imashen tekno. Don't make a takana if it will lead to have to destroy more than what was built. If we are going to close the cemetery and not allow them to bury ashes, what will happen is, says Reb David Tzvi Hoffman, they might not allow, the German authorities might not allow the Jews to have separate cemeteries at all. Because once you're saying you can't bury cremation ashes and the authorities are so into cremation, they might not allow us to have a Jewish cemetery at all. Therefore, it's best to leave it like the strict halacha, to have a separate place to bury them in the cemetery. So there are a few issues. Originally, the consensus of German poskim, and originally the consensus of the Rabbanut, was not to bury ashes at all. Within the German community, this turned on the hinge of, well, maybe it's better to bury the ashes at the side of the cemetery, because if we don't, they might put us out of business. In Israel, the turning point first was the Holocaust. Even then, they're burying them at the side of the cemetery. Later on, with Jews from the Soviet Union, the issue was, you know what? Let's put them in the regular cemetery. The halacha that we don't put a Russian near a tzaddik is no longer observed. We bury Mechallelei Shabbos in a regular cemetery. So what difference is there between a Mechallel Shabbos and the person who's cremated? Now, many of the poskim, if you look at the Tshuva of the Sri De'esh that I give you, it's like on page 6. The Sri De'esh basically says that there's a huge difference between a Mechallel Shabbos and someone who is cremated. As far as Mechallel Shabbos, that person is not cutting himself off from the fabric of Jewish, from the fabric of the Jewish community. But someone who is cremated, when you know how long-standing the opposition to cremation is, so that means the person is not interested in being part of the Jewish community at all. And the Sri De'esh goes back to the Reb Sadia Gaon, says if you cremate, that shows that you don't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim. That is much worse than being Mechallel Shabbos or anything. Don't bury it at all. That's his opinion.
Mechallel Shabbos
is better than an individual who's cremated. What?
So
Mechallel Shabbos, the Gemara says, like Oved Avodah Zarah. Obviously, if you're Mechallel Shabbos, you're Chayiv Skila. It's, in the strict halachic sense, much worse. But in the sense of connection to Yiddishkeit, sometimes something which is of less halachic significance by objective standards demonstrates more abandonment of Judaism than something else. Right?
So you don't believe in God quality kair is less of an abandonment than Judaism than going and saying I don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim?
Not since Jews for hundreds, thousands of years, they always buried bodies they didn't cremate. The Sri De'esh, again, and this is already in the 1950s, the Sri De'esh is saying that someone who is cremated should not be buried at all. The Sri De'esh is known for being a tolerant posek. He's taking a very hard line approach.
What do you do with the...
So what you do with the ashes is you
put them in a mausoleum.
You disperse them somewhere. Yeah. you make sure you throw, you can't throw them on the ground because maybe it's also behind the but you make sure the ashes aren't around. Yeah, Ari?
Since you mentioned Skila, so my mind's going to Serefa. I'm not quite sure what that punishment is, but is there a body left after the court rules that someone should be burned? Is it to the ashes?
Now you say that Serefa is that they would drink some burning lead and there was a body that remained afterwards. Yeah. This issue went on for many, many years, but the halachic positions have changed, in part because if the halachic position is based on pure halacha, so it's not going to change. But if it's based on maintaining community standards and saying we don't want people to cremate, so the weird paradox is as more people cremate themselves, and it's no longer a sign of not being part of the fabric of the Jewish community, so paradoxically, we allow the burial. Now, just to go back to the case of Barbara and Jacob, so one second, Nadia, I just want to make two more points, and then I'll take questions. I just want to finish this up. In the case of Barbara and Jacob, what Rav Schechter said, which was very interesting, is that if you're a Holocaust survivor and you want to be cremated because you feel that you should have been burned by Hitler, your desire for cremation is not because you don't want to be a part of the Jewish people, but if anything, your desire for cremation is because you do want to be part of the Jewish people. And for that reason, my father bought a grave and put Barbara is in the grave. Jacob is in the grave. The cremation ashes are there. The feeling was that they should be buried. My understanding is that the rabbi of the shul does not know or did not know that they were buried. But my father is the head of the Chevra Kadisha, and he kind of did this without rabbinic approval in terms of the local rabbi. Rav Schechter said it's okay. Rav Henkin also writes that people who cremate themselves not out of a desire to cut themselves off from the Jewish people, but because they are really tinokos shenishbu, they don't even know that there's a prohibition of cremation. So then you should bury the ashes. And in a community where they are not...
Edgar Bronfman, the president of the World Jewish Congress, asked to be creative. Cremated, and he was so cremated a few months ago. He was the president of the World Jewish Congress. He wanted he had an association with the Jewish people and whatever he thought Judaism stood for.
So again, people, the question of whether you're cremating yourself to show that you don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, if that's not the reason for your cremation, your reason for your cremation is something other than that, there's obviously more grounds to bury the ashes. Let me just mention one more point. People like look in the Sefer Gesher HaChayim. Rabbi Chil Michal Tukchinsky wrote a Sefer, which is like the classic on Avelos. But people don't often read the second volume in the Gesher HaChayim, which is where he gives all the Hashkafa, all of the philosophy behind the laws of Avelos. And in the second volume of the Gesher HaChayim, he points out, why is it that Jews have been so opposed to... So he says, you know what, the Gemara tells us that the cause of Tchias HaMesim is something like a seed of wheat. The seed of wheat, you put it in the ground, it begins to disintegrate, and new growth comes from it. When a person is buried, the body disintegrates, but that can lead to new growth, and that new growth is called Tchias HaMesim. Reb Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky shows that when you burn something, you are completely changing the chemical properties of it, so it cannot lead to more propagation. The pasuk that we say at the end of a levaya, you take some grass and you pick it up and you throw it over your shoulder, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. V'yotzitzu me'ir ke'esev ha'aretz zachor ke'afar anachnu. That we believe that there will be Tchias HaMesim. Death is temporary. Not only will there be Tchias HaMesim, but the Tchias HaMesim will come from your body itself, will become like the nutrients, will become like that seed that will lead to the Tchias HaMesim. So our opposition to cremation is because when you cremate a body, what you are doing is you are changing it in a substantial way that the nutrients, so to speak, and he quotes this from Zohar's, I give you the sources in the Zohar in the last page of the source sheets. The Zohar writes exactly this idea. Tchias HaMesim comes from the body itself, as it were. That's why we believe that Tchias HaMesim will be a physical thing. You will wake up in the same clothing that you're put in to the ground. That's why traditionally we don't do this anymore. The Gemara says you're supposed to be buried in tzitzis, no? Because you're going to wake up from Tchias HaMesim, and how can you be without tzitzis? How can you be without tzitzis? Our belief is that when a person dies, that person remains present in the neshama, and the body also contains kedusha, and that body is going to come back. And through cremation, the person is demonstrating that they don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, and even if they're not demonstrating that they don't believe in Tchias HaMesim, Yechiel Mitzvah Tupachinsky argues that Tchias HaMesim won't really happen because it can't happen from ashes. It happens only from disintegrated body. Again, this issue is obviously a painful issue, but at the same time, I think there are valuable lessons. Not only have Klal Yisrael been so careful about burying bodies in Jewish graves, but it's about burial of people together. Burial of people in the sense of burial in the ground, not above ground mausoleums. Burial of the body, not cremation. This has been the standard approach. The fact that we no longer have a prohibition about burying cremation ashes in the cemetery is the result of beginning to splinter and not being a halachic community. In Professor Furziger's articles, he talks about the differences between having a hierarchical Judaism and having Judaism as an enclave. If it's an enclave, you're in or out. But if it's hierarchical, we're saying we'll bury you in a lower place. We'll bury you on the side of the cemetery. And once we're saying it's hierarchical, so then once the entire community or the majority of the community is no longer keeping to the higher standard, then you could bury the ashes even in the regular cemetery. That's what was done with Barbara and Jacob. Again, their case was unusual because of the Holocaust connection, but not as unusual as people think. Okay, gentlemen, thank you for listening. I'm already a minute late to Mincha. I'm happy to take questions on the WhatsApp or whatever, but thank you for coming to listen.